the windows of heaven are open. Blessings are pouring tonight with joy, joy, joy in my heart.
Hallelujah!
Since Jesus makes everything right,
oh, I gave him
my untouched garment.
Aren't you happy tonight?
For the windows of heaven are open this morning, the blessings are falling tonight. With joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes every,
He makes everything right.
I gave Him my untouched garment. He gave me.
Amen. Greet your brother beside you. Give him life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And Sister Patience, you can come. You come minister deity to us this morning.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
The song I'm going to sing is called In the Presence of Jehovah. And I guess it's just a testimony to say how burdens are made easy when we're in His presence. Even the hardest situations, when we're in God's presence, everything just seems to be much better. In and out of situations, the tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. And then I come into His presence, and all my questions become clear.
Hallelujah.
And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the presence of God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the of the King. Through His love the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up and despair. Just sleep away and breathe His name.
Hallelujah.
He will surely meet you there. troubles vanish and hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, He's a Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish and our hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Troubles vanish and hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of our King. Amen.
Amen. I just sing you a nice song. It's about, the chorus is, "We are your hands, we are your feet, with your body you have built this sanctuary. Now let your love, your peace, let your presence sanctify and make it holy. Let your glory, Lord, fill this house." Amen. The Most High God dwelleth not in the temples made of human hands, but our hearts He has chosen to be His dwelling place, a people saved by His grace. Your hands, your feet, with your body you have built this sanctuary. Now let your love, your peace, let your presence sanctify and make it holy. Let your glory, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place you have made. Beyond human reason, this place you have chosen, another wilderness you have transformed. With your prisoners of love, your anointing from above, another paradox you have transformed. Your hands, your feet, with your body you have built this sanctuary. Your sanctify and make it holy. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place you have made. Your beauty and character we have seen in each other as we work together in one accord. We've seen your your power on display. You have answered when we pray through our trials. You made the way. We are your hands, your feet. With your body you have built this sanctuary. Your love, your peace, let your presence sanctify and make it holy. Let your glory fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Every lively stone in this building, now shout the praise of God. Let the priest cry, holy, holy. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let the pillars stand in position to support the house of God. Let the priest cry, holy, holy. Let us give thanks to the Lord. We are your hands, your feet, with your body. Your love, your peace, let your presence sanctify and make us holy. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. Let your glory, Lord, fill this place. You have me. Hallelujah. And Omega. We invite him in this morning. We worship you. Oh, we worship you, Jesus, this morning. Oh, you are Alpha. Let's confess. Hallelujah. You are Alpha and Omega. We invite you in, Holy Ghost. We worship you. Oh, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You, Lord, are worthy. You, Lord, you, Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to. Oh, let's give him glory this morning. We give you you, Lord. Take me past the outer courts to that holy place. Stand if you can stand. First the praising altar, but I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people to sing your praise. Hunger and thirst.
Thanks to the Ancient of Days.
Hallelujah.
Prayer request. You want to remember Sister Viva. She's not feeling well. Couldn't come to church. Also, we want to remember Sister Samange. She's traveling back to Malawi Tuesday night. Heavenly Father, how wonderful to be called your sons and your daughters. Father, what a privilege, what an honor to come into your presence. Father, to be in your service. To worship Thee in this hour.
Amen.
And Father, we just want to give ourselves completely unto Thee.
Amen.
Have the preeminence.
Amen.
Be glorified in Your people.
Amen.
Shine forth for your glory, we ask and pray. Feed our souls, Father, overshadow us, Lord. Change us into your image for your glory. And our sister, Lord, in Jesus' name, we send the word of healing in Jesus' name. That, Father, you would touch her for your glory, because you've already finished the work, Lord. Our sister will travel on Tuesday. Give her traveling mercies, Lord. Bless her at home. Bless your husband. Bless the congregation of the saints there, Lord. Bless your people, we pray. And now, Father, as you open up your word, be with us, Lord. Guide us, Father. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Saints, you may be seated 1 minute. I just want to make a few announcements here. As we do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be in his house. Good to be in his service. And I was thinking yesterday when you saw what happened in Paris. You know, you see all those people that were killed in that rock concert. Now I was really thinking about those people. You know, many of us here used to listen to that type of music. And if it wasn't for the grace of God to come and personally intervene in our lives, where would we be? And I thought of it yesterday. But those people, they died in their sin. They died right in the midst of iniquity. You know, it's a real, real sad thing. And then I really, really saw also with these ISIS guys. I said, what a blessing predestination is.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We're predestined to be like Christ. Amen. And Christ said, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man laid down his life for his friends.
Amen.
So we want to be fundamentalists. Hallelujah. But a fundamental Christian, it's shown in agape love.
Amen.
That we would lay our lives down on behalf of other people. But these people, what do? They take the lives of other people. That's their adoption in this life, friends. And there they are, and they think they're going to go and have 70 virgins and all that. That's nonsense.
Amen.
Those men are in the regions of the lost today.
Amen.
And they realize that they were greatly deceived because they died with the blood of many innocent people on their hands, friends.
Yes.
And I was thinking of it to say, we need to worship God for predestination.
Amen.
That he predestinated us unto the truth to believe in the only true one, who's Jesus.
Amen.
And he's changed our lives. You know, he delivered us from that darkness. We could have been there. Other saints could have been there. But friends, predestination is a real powerful thing. And it's something I really think we should really appreciate the Lord more and more for in these kind of times. Just wanted to give a few announcements here. Firstly, we'd like to have a communion service next weekend. We can't do it on Saturday though, for some reason. So we wanted to have it on Friday evening. So I'm sure that would be okay with most saints. Friday evening, apart from Brother Jim. Friday evening, communion service, 7 o'clock. So let's have it on Friday evening. Let's see how it goes. Amen. It would be a blessing. Then we're glad to say Brother Lubanza will be with us next Sunday.
Amen.
To take service for us on Sunday. He's going to be in Dublin for a few days, so he phoned me this week. So I said, please, brother, come and take the Sunday service. He's happy to do that.
Amen.
We then, the following weekend, which is 2 weekends' time, we'd like to do some outreach on the Saturday. We'd like to arrange a special service for the Sunday evangelistic service here, so it'll be 2 Sundays' time. So on the Saturday, whoever's free, whoever heart stirs them up, let's come on the Friday evening special prayer meeting. Let's really pray about it. We'll get some leaflets done. We can advertise that we have a Sunday school, you know, that we who we are. And let's go around this area and let people know who we are.
Amen.
Let's go to the people speak where we can find them. Go to everybody's letterbox, put something inside of the letterbox so that the Lord has something to quicken. Because if you don't sow the seed, there's nothing the Lord can quicken. So if we get out there and we tell people, even if people don't immediately respond, but down the way, maybe one of their relatives is sick, some misfortune in their life, the Lord can bring to their remembrance that there are certain people just around the corner there who believe in these kind of things. So we just please really pray for that. Then our dedication services for here, now we finalized, it could be on either of 2 weekends, preferably on the 19th or 20th and 20th of December. That's the weekend before Christmas. So it's going to be Brother Crosby and Brother George Martin. They're both going to be coming. So we're going to have 2 services each. So I think it'll be a blessing. Brother Crosby, he's real good with his faith and his evangelism. Brother George Martin would be maybe ideal to do the dedication, you know, to teach about, you know, those kind of things. So we're planning that on the 19th and 20th. Will there be anybody here who won't be here? Is anybody going away for Christmas, the weekend before Christmas? Okay. That's okay, bro. But otherwise, we'll leave it on that weekend. I provisionally told the brothers that, but I said I wanted to check, because I know sometimes saints do go away for Christmas. So if there were a lot of saints going away, we could have had it the weekend before. But I think that is the ideal weekend. That just before Christmas, you know, school holidays, that's why I arranged it like that. People don't have to worry too much about, you know, the activities of life. So please pray for that. That will be a real blessing, I do believe. So we'll let you know the final arrangements, but that's those services the weekend before Christmas. Just wanted to show one slide here as well. Sister, if you can put the slides. Just want to show you our vision for the future. Brother Wilmore has now drawn up our vision for the future.
Amen.
This is our proposed new church.
Amen.
So I wanted really just to bring it to the saints. We've spoken about it. We've got, you know, between ourselves and different things. So Brother Wilmore went and made us a very nice plan as to a proposed new church, which we had built ourselves. So the reason I'm bringing it, amen, hallelujah. So I thought I'd bring it to the saints so we can start praying for this immediately. But I thought if you showed the plan, it might be quite exciting, because I was excited when I saw the plan. You know, so Brother Will, he's really done a real good plan here. We've got the main church hall. How many people, bro? About 300 people? So by the grace of God, we'd fill it up. I do believe it, saints. I really do believe that. At the back, we've got a cry room here. We've got a Sunday school room dedicated. We've got a fellowship room for saints. Another Sunday school room. It's one for the bigger children, smaller children. We have brothers' toilets, sisters' toilets. We then have a pulpit, a stage. Where's our baptistry on this one, Brent? Did you put it?
Just that box with steps down.
Okay, that's the baptism pool as well on the stage. And then a boardroom for meetings and so forth. And then two offices, the pastor's office and another office. So I really thought it was quite an outstanding thing. And also to have like an exit corridor, people coming in out of the rain. You know, a corridor on the way, people can greet themselves, greet one another in that kind of a situation. So I really thought it's a real good thing to pray about. Amen. May the Lord help us. Because this building, the man selling this building again, I don't know if the same sort. Now, we don't know who the new landlord's going to be, but I think it just proves to us, trying to find this place and all that sort of stuff, that let's look to the future. The prophet says we need to look to the generation to come if Jesus does tarry. He says we've got to think about our children. Where are they going to worship? You know, we've just been used to it all as being like pilgrims ourselves. But in taking side with Jesus, the prophet says, let's make a provision. He says, people will say, but no, what good is it to build a church if Jesus is coming? And the prophet says, what good is it to keep the money in the bank if Jesus is coming? No, let's rather invest it, plant our potatoes. You know, and there's different ideas, different saints have brought up about fundraising and different things. So just wanted to bring it to the saints today, just initially to say, let's start praying about this. And then we'll start discussing it and finalizing different thoughts concerning it as we do go along. And any suggestions are very well welcomed. You know, if you have any ideas of how you think we can do it. You know, I was reading the other day with the prophet, when they wanted to build the Branham Tabernacle, they started with $2.50. That's as much money as they had. And he said it was during the Great Depression, they had $2.50. Now, we have more than $2.50. So we're starting off a little bit better than the prophet did. But they built their tabernacle. So I don't see why not, Brother George Quinn and them. They built themselves a real wonderful building up there in Donegal, only being just a handful of saints. So I do believe with faith. And believing that if we walk in the will of God, the Bible says He will withhold no good thing from them that fear Him. So I just wanted to bring it to the saints to say, let's pray about this. But I really do believe that is where the future really lies. You know, we do need to get ourselves our own place so that we can be what God wants us to be. Let's stand, let's read our Bible, saints. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. When I was away, Brother Max brought up a very good topic about, can a believer backslide? Can a believer sin? And then when I came back, he said, Brother, he said, there's some questions were raised. Can you also just address this issue a little bit? So I went and listened to Brother Max's messages, and then I saw exactly one point that I needed to bring, which I think will just bring everything together. But I did enjoy those messages. And I think just with a little bit of us fellowshipping around it as well, I do believe it's a very, very good topic. So let's read from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read down to verse 8. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.
Amen.
So Paul's telling us, first of all, don't stay as a baby all the time. You'll get yourself in trouble as a believer.
Amen.
Don't stay all the time having to go round and around and around on this death walk. Let's push to perfection.
Amen.
There's a place of safety. There's a place of refuge. Let's push on. It says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Why? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. So you're saying, look, be careful. It's as if you're always coming back to repentance and you're always coming back once again to these first foundations. He says, be careful. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes oft upon it. So we're praying for another shower to fall upon this earth and upon our souls today.
Amen.
But the Lord, when he sends forth the rain, he wants to see the fruits, the right kind of fruits.
Amen.
He doesn't want to send forth the rain and then you bring forth the wrong kind of fruit. That's what he's going to tell us. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God.
Amen.
So if you leave here, the Lord having anointed you, blessed you, fed your soul, you've worshipped the Lord, and you go out there during the week, and you bring forth good fruits, God's going to bless you.
Amen.
But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, his end is to be burned. So the same rain, the same field, and then you go from here during the week and you're going listening to your rock music and you're going and putting on your trousers as women and you're playing around with the world as young people. Be careful. God doesn't appreciate those kind of things. Let's bow once again. Father, we bring this before thee. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're good. Be with us now. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. So we can put our slides here. I'd just like to maybe take this topic, try to bring it together. Backsliding saints and backsliding believers and sinful saints. So that was the point that Brother Max was bringing up, and it was very good. Is can a believer backslide? Now, can a child of God sin? Now, obviously, there's different terminology that's going to be used here. So we need to try to understand certain principles before we get there. Let's have a look in the Bible. Let's read a couple of scriptures just to show how we need to tie this together. First John. We look in the first epistle of John at three different verses. First John, Brother Tom and them say, little John. First John chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So there's a certain type or category of sin that we as believers can commit. There's a certain type of sin. You see, that's where it comes in. In the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 1, 1 John 2, verse 1, he continues on and he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
So we have somebody who's our perfect atonement for sin. Then 1 John 3 verse 9, this is now shows another type of sin now. 1 John 3 verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. So I think already he's made it pretty clear here that, you know, there's a certain man who has a seed in him, and that seed cannot sin. But that seed is dwelling in something which can sin. You know, so your outward man can sin, but the inward man, if you're born again, cannot sin. You know, we'll see that as we go, but I think that's the whole balance of it. Now let's have a look at this thought here. If you bring back the slides, please, sister. Look, let's have a look at the book of life because we need to build it up just a little bit here. Here, the book of life. So the book of life is divided up into certain sections. So scripture applies to different people in different ways. If you are one of the elect or one of the seed of God, there's certain scriptures that aren't going to apply to you. When the Bible says that it's given unto man once to die and then judgment, that doesn't apply to the elect.
Amen.
So you've got to make sure you bring in the scriptures and applying it to the right categories of people. Because the elect will never come into judgment. We know that. But look what the prophet says in the church age book. He says, speaking about the book of life, he says, we will also show that there's a group of people whose names having been placed on that record before the foundation of the world cannot under any circumstances have their names removed.
Amen.
So there's a category of people, the elect. It doesn't matter what they do. Their names will never be removed from the book of life. This is God's seed. This is his sons and this is his daughters. Now the prophet explains this group of people, the elect, in the church age book, and he says, why? Because she was chosen before the foundation of the world in him.
Amen.
She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. So there's a category of people, the bride, which is the elect, the seed, the royal seed of Abraham. That before the foundation of the world, the issue was finished. And the prophet says that she was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Then he reads Romans 4 verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So there's certain people that this sin has been so perfectly atoned for in the plan of God that sin cannot be imputed against these people. But that doesn't cover everybody, friends. There's different categories of people that we're speaking about here. Because in the book of life, there's another section of the book of life. And the prophet says, but we will show that another group whose names were on the record, were on the book of life before the foundation of the world, will have their names removed.
Amen.
So there's certain people that sin will be imputed to them.
Amen.
There's certain people that they will sin a sin unto death. They'll sin a certain type of sin that will cause their names to be blotted out of the records of life.
Amen.
But the prophet's saying, but there's a certain group that can never happen to them. Because God cannot lose his seed. He cannot lose his children.
Amen.
But there's another group of people that are given life. That were in the book of life, that are associated in the program of God for the age, and because of this particular type of sin, the sin of unbelief, their names will be blotted out of the records of life. Which leaves us with one more group of people. There's a group of people who aren't the elect. Their names are in the book of life, but their names are never removed. The prophet says this is the foolish virgin.
Amen.
And those kinds of people at the judgment, they'll come up in the judgment and their names will still be found written in the book of life, so they'll be given eternal life. So there's different categories of people here. So the scriptures are going to apply to different categories of people. But to the bride, to the elect, like Brother Max was saying, the bride cannot backslide. But it's a different type of backslide. We cannot backslide in the soul. We can backslide in the flesh. We'll see what the prophet says. But the soul of a believer, which is redeemed, which has met redemption, can never backslide. That's the soul. But that soul is dwelling in an earthly vessel. So now obviously we're going to have another type of backsliding, another type of sin which the outward man can do. That's why we have to have an atonement for our sin. So that's where, what he's speaking about here. Now, let's take brother or sister, whoever it is. He that's born of God cannot commit sin because his seed remains in him.
Hallelujah.
But the seed is dwelling inside of carnal flesh. You know, so there's going to have to be something that God's going to have to do here for us to help us. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble because the scripture speaks about sin. Now listen to what the prophet says about Abraham's backsliding. In Hebrews chapter 6, in the message, Hebrews chapter 6, when the prophet's preaching about this, he says, let's read here a minute. Then he reads Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. to Abraham and his seed. He saith not, this is what Paul says, to thy seeds, but to thy seed, which is Christ. So if God is going to put his seed inside of mortal beings, if he's going to put us on earth and we're going to have to be tried and tested and have the days of our flesh, if he knows that we're going to fall short, he knows we're going to miss the mark, he knows we're going to get confused, he knows we're going to make mistakes, he knows all of these kinds of things. So in order for God to safeguard his seed, he's going to have to predestinate a perfect atonement for his seed. So before he'll send his seed on earth, he's going to make sure there's a perfect provision made for them before the foundation of the world. God isn't going to put his sons and daughters in harm's way. He's not going to put them in danger in any kind of a way. He's going to put us down here on the earth in flesh to be tried and tested so that we can develop character and overcome and the different things we have to go through. But it's going to be progressive. There's going to be things we don't understand at first. There's going to be times where the vision gets dim. There's going to be times Satan's going to come and draw near and try to whisper to us. There's going to be times we're going to make mistakes. Going to be times we'll fall flat on our faces. But that's got nothing to do with the seed. That's to do with the outward man. So that's why God had to predestinate a perfect atonement for us before the foundation of the world. That's why Christ is the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world. God would never take those precious names from the Lamb's Book of Life and put them on this earth to be tried and tested without first having a perfect, iron-tight atonement for them. That has to be made. So the prophet says that. He says, Paul is showing us here that God, when he made his covenant, he didn't make his covenant with us as his elect. He made his covenant with Christ, with the seed of Abraham. So Jesus was the one that stood on our behalf, and God made a covenant with Christ. And he is the mediator of the new covenant. And we being in Christ, we are beneficiaries of all of this covenant that Christ made for us. So God made sure before the foundation of the world that he set us on the basis of an unconditional covenant. The covenant that we are under today, it's an unconditional covenant. The prophet says, whenever God made covenant with man, he made one with Adam. Adam sinned. He made it with Israel. Israel got away from God. He says, so God made up in his mind that for his elect, for his bride, he was going to make an unconditional covenant. There's no conditions on us in this covenant. Amen. All the conditions have been met in Christ.
That's right.
All the conditions that God is expecting of us, the forgiveness of sin, the atonement of sin, and everything which is required for our souls to safely navigate through to the end has already been achieved in Christ.
Amen.
And if we're in Christ, then we're in the covenant.
Amen.
If we're not in Christ, we're not in the covenant. That's as clear as it is. So if we are born of the Spirit, baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, then we are automatically beneficiaries of an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
And God came down to Abraham and gave him an unconditional covenant. He didn't say, Abraham, if you do this and you do this and you do this, then I'll do this for you. He says, Abraham, I've already made you a father of many nations. This is my choice. This is my purpose. This has got nothing to do with you. This is my purpose, which stands according to election. I've decided to do this myself. I'm the one that's going to do it. So you can see he was on the basis of an unconditional covenant. And that's the basis that we as believers are on as well. The prophet says then, Christ was the seed of Abraham. And we being dead in Christ, baptized into his body, are Abraham's seed. And we heirs of the promise. Then how is it? How are you ever going to fall away? Now there's a difference in backsliding and falling away. We can backslide. We'll see if we backslide every day, the prophet says. In our minds, we backslide. We think something wrong. In our bodies. But the soul of a believer can never backslide. You can never fall away. Your outward man can be tempted, but your soul is never tempted. That soul which is born of God is incorruptible seed. You know, you may get confused. You know, you may be John in prison and the devil's speaking to you and you haven't read your Bible for a while. And you don't understand why Jesus isn't coming and visiting you in prison. And you start to lose the vision. And then you send a message and say, are you the one to come or should we look for another? That was John the outward man, but God knew there was nothing wrong in the soul of the man.
Amen.
The devil was just trying to take advantage of the circumstances of the man to confuse him in his human spirit, his mind.
Amen.
To maybe make him feel low and depressed and all these natural things of the mortal man. But if you could have looked down beyond the veil inside of John, though it might have got a little bit dim at that time, but his soul, he was born of the Spirit in his mother's womb. He received the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. He that's born of God cannot sin. The devil could only take John so far. It was impossible for John to disbelieve. He couldn't. The devil can knock you down to your foundation, but he can't take you any further than that. Because the foundation of God stands sure. In this, the Lord knows them that are his. And friends, he'll never allow the devil to push somebody that far. He'll always step in. He'll always make a way of escape for his elect. So the prophet says, how are you ever going to fall away with an unconditional covenant? If God made the promise to you, how are you ever going to backslide and go away and have to go to hell for it? If Christ has already made a perfect atonement on behalf of certain people in the book of life, in God's eyes, it's finished.
That's right.
Those people will never stand in the judgment. Never. That's an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, now, you say, well, can't we backslide? Absolutely. And when you backslide, you're going to get it. Don't you worry. You see, so this kind of a thing, you might say, but no, I believe I'm one of the elect. It just means you're going to be dealt with far more severely in this life than anybody else out there. The nations that surrounded Israel, they could do all manner of sin and God never judged them. But the moment Israel got involved in a little bit of this and that, God chastened them severely because they were his elect. They were his sons and daughters. So it's a two-edged sword, friends. God's made an atonement, but in our backslidings, when we get away from God, when we get out of his purpose, he's going to give us a big whipping. He's going to chasten us, as many as I love. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So this is going to balance itself out. No, that if you are a child of God, we have it on our in our office at home. It was that one that Brother Vlad also has found among Brother Branham's belongings when he passed away. That man who was writing about, if you are a son of God, if you are a child of God, God will never let you get away with things that other people get away with. God will allow someone to do something, get all the glory for it. You will do so many things, somebody else gets the glory for what you've done. He says, that's how it is, because your reward is beyond. Your reward is in the skies. Other people can go and play around with the world. It doesn't affect them. You just play a little bit and see how God rebukes you for what you did. Because you're his child. He treats his children differently than he differently than he teaches other people, treats other people. Friends, and our children are playing outside on the road with the neighbor's children. And Daniel speaks bad. He's going to get a sure bigger punishment than anything I can do to the rest of the children. Because he's my son. I don't want him to grow up like that. I'm not going to allow him to do things which I'll allow the other children to do out there on the street. Because they're not my children. I'm not responsible for them. But I'm responsible for the upbringing of my children. And that's how it is with God in his dealings with us. That's why if you his child, he won't let you get away with it. That's a sure sign. But it doesn't mean we're not going to do wrong. Because we're dwelling in this outward man. The inward man is never tempted. The soul, your soul is never tempted. But it's the outward man. It's these five senses of the natural body. The five senses internally. Your reasoning, your imagination, all that kind. That's where all of the confusion comes. That's where Satan attacks you and makes you want to feel like this, that, and the other. Wants to try to confuse you. But if you can just be still and listen to your soul knows all is well.
Amen.
That's what David says. He says, this does my soul. What does he say? It says, my soul, somebody says, all is well. No, this my soul knoweth very well. That's what he says. And if you can just get quiet and just get all the confusion of your mind out of the way and let your born-again soul speak, your soul always believes. The prophet says the outward man gets scared. The outward man thinks, hey, is this going to happen? Am I going to be healed? If you can just get him out the way and just listen to the inward man believes. It's just natural for him to believe. So, the prophet says, don't you think it gives you the right to sin? It doesn't. You'll pay for everything that you do. you'll reap what you sow. You do one little sin and you'll reap a whole washtub full. That's right, but brother, that don't mean to say you lost. That's exactly right. Abraham reaped exactly what he sowed, but he was still saved. He went down to Egypt. God told him, don't go, and he still went. He went to Gerar. He went and lied about his wife. He did all these kind of things. The prophet says, the covenant that God made with Israel, yeah, that was his son Israel. They lost the inheritance. They lost the promised land and went down into Egypt, but they didn't lose their covenant. Up to today, that covenant's still in effect. That's why God still watches over them, even their unbelief. Because they are the covenant children of God. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Amen. If God establishes an unconditional covenant with you and I, it's not subject to you and I. God doesn't give us a covenant and take it away. But under that covenant, there's certain things He's expecting of us. There's a certain behavior. There's a certain reverence and respect. He wants us to put His kingdom first. He wants us to behave in certain ways. And if we don't, He gives us a whipping. He gives us a good hiding. The prophet says with Israel, they lost their didn't lose their covenant. God said, I remember my promise to Abraham. When they were in the Exodus and they started crying out to God, the Lord says, I remember my promise. He had made His promise. And I've come down to deliver my people. Let my people go. That's the same thing it is with us. If you are dead, there's an if there. If you are dead and your life is hid in God through Christ, there's nothing in the world can touch you. Amen. Nothing. You might go and do wrong, but if you're really truly a child of God and you see you've made a mistake, you'll rise and try again. Amen. That's the power of the seed in you.
Amen.
At some stage, He's going to visit you with restoration. At some stage, He's going to speak to you and the seed is going to express itself once again. You can never keep a good man down, they say in the world. And friends, you can never keep the elect down. Satan may think he's got you. But in due season, God will speak and you're going to come forth once again. Because it's predestinated inside of you. So the prophet says, it is a question and questions and answers. Somebody asked the prophet, this person was baptized at the age of 13. But obviously went and did things that were wrong in their teenage years, like many of the young people do. And then she was asking, should I be baptized again? That was the question. This is 1954 questions and answers. The prophet says, just saying you were baptized in Christian baptism, age of 13. You've lived a Christian life along the way, or maybe you've backslid a few times, I don't know. The prophet then says, on backsliding, I wish somebody would go to ask me that. On backsliding. Remember, you backslide every day. There's no way at all for you to keep out of it. This man's going to backslide every day. This outward man, in your thoughts, in your feelings. You know, somebody's going to cut in front of you with a car. No matter how born again your soul is, the flesh ain't going to be happy with that. And you got to be careful because it can become a transgression against the law. Someone's going to say something to you just at the wrong time. You're down in the valley. You're not feeling very spiritual. You're going to react to what somebody said. Amen. What is reacting? Is it the seed? Or is it the outward man? It's the outward man. And there's already a perfect atonement made for this outward man. Because God became a man. And took every sin that you could ever do in our outward man. And He's already made a perfect atonement on the cross. God's already redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit, potentially in His own mind. So the prophet says that. He says, you backside every day. There's no way at all for you to keep out of it. See? But you backslide to the people in the church, but not before God. So when Abraham goes down to Egypt, everyone says, this man's backslid. God said, he's my prophet.
Amen.
What's God looking at? He's looking at the inside man. But the world is looking at the outside man. I might see you lose your temper and say, ooh, Brother Pele, these days, things aren't right. God's looking at the soul of the man and saying, he's my son. He's my son. All is well within the veil. But we're looking at the outward man. So the prophet's saying, just be careful. Like James when he looks at faith and Paul when he looks at faith. James is looking at the outward man, the works. Paul's looking at the inside man. God saw the faith in Abraham long before James saw the works. You know, that's how that it was. The brother preached then when he went away. The prophet says, now listen how he says it. He says, you backslide on Christ, but you don't on God. Hey, now this is an interesting, the prophet's very interesting how he speaks. You backslide on Christ, but you never backslide on God. There's a different type of sin here, friends. The prophet says we have to have a mediator, yeah? There's got to be a perfect sacrifice between a sinful man and a holy God. And we're going to transgress and do things wrong against Christ, our mediator. And he's going to be making intercession, say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But if ever that sin comes directly here, we're finished. If ever we sin in the spirit, that's a sin unto death now. So the prophet's saying, we backslide against Christ every day. But he's already made an atonement. If we sin, we have an advocate already. We have one who shed his own blood for the atonement of our own sins. We have a buffer between this perfect, sinless God and us, a sinful man. You may be redeemed in your soul, but there's a process you're going to have to go through. You're going to be ignorant of many things. The Bible says he makes intercession upon our ignorance. Amen. Saying, Father, he doesn't yet understand. Father, forgive him. He's still on his way to full understanding. So there's got to be the perfect atonement to make up for us until we come to perfection. Amen. At the end of this age. And then we changed and he takes us off this earth. But as long as we're walking in the flesh, as long as we're still learning, as long as we're still in the process of growth as believers, we're learning obedience through the things we suffer. We're learning through our mistakes. We're falling short. We don't understand this. The word sin in the Bible, the one definition of sin, the prophet used it, means to miss the mark. Friends, who here didn't miss the mark sometime this week? Every one of us, we miss the mark every day. We never prayed as much as we should. We never got in the Word. There's opportunity to testify. We didn't take them. We spoke wrong to our wives. We said this to our children. We broke the speed limit, whatever that it is. We all sin, friends. We all miss the mark. And that's why there's a perfect atonement between us and God for all of these things that you do in the flesh. That's why you'll ask yourself, why was there no atonement made for Lucifer? Because he sinned in the spirit. He sinned directly against the holy God. Don't ever get yourself in that situation, friends. We're going to see that's what Paul is getting to in Hebrews chapter 6. He's saying, be careful. Don't despise this atonement. Don't tread underfoot this blood. Otherwise, you're going to end up dealing directly with him. That's not what you want. You don't want to be in that kind of a condition. And to a genuine believer, you'll never do that because the seed that's in you will never allow you to do that. Will never allow you to disbelieve and do all those kind of things which causes that kind of a sin. So the prophet says, you backslide on Christ, but you don't on God. Because when you sin, you're gone. So now he's speaking of another type of sin. When you sin, you're gone. There's a certain type of sin. When you commit that sin, you're gone.
Amen.
And Jesus told us about that. There's sin in the spirit. That's right. There's not sin done in the flesh. There's not mistakes and transgressions and devil trapping you into something. But there's sin in the spirit.
That's right.
Now that's what Paul is warning us about. Be careful of that one there. And that's the thing which causes people's names to be blotted out of the records of life.
Amen.
Is that kind of sin. The prophet says, when you sin, you're gone. But you're constantly falling. Paul had to die every day, is that right? He had to die every day, repent every day, and just constantly repenting all the time. And if Paul had to do that, then I'm going to have to do that too, aren't you? That's right. And every single, that's how we'll say, none of us will say we don't have sin. But we don't really have this sin that we're speaking about that causes a person's soul to be separated from God, which is unbelief. The sin in a spiritual realm. There's a certain category of sin. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 31. Jesus goes and shows us about sinning against Jesus, sinning against the Son of Man, and sinning against the Spirit. There's two different types of sin here. Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. So we backslide against Christ. It's forgiven us. Whoso speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So he has a certain category of sin. It's a different kind. But if we went back to our picture in the Book of Life, the elect, it's impossible for them to commit this type of sin. Because his seed is in them. If you're his child, you can only go so far. You will never get to that point that you try to disown your father. Something inside of you, no matter what he does to you, you will still say, he's right. You might say, I don't understand this in my mind. I don't understand this in my feelings. I don't understand this in the outward man. But inside of my soul, I know that he's right.
Amen.
That's what happened to the prophet when Sharon Rose was dying and the devil came and whispered to him. And said, after all that you've done, he'll allow your daughter to die like this. And the prophet says everything he said was the truth. He said he was trying to work from the outward man. The prophet now, he was low in spirit. And the devil was trying to get him to sin in his mind. But when it came close to the soul, when the prophet says, I was about to say, if that's how he is, I won't serve him. He says, something came from within. And said, who am I anyhow?
Amen.
Who gave me this wife? Who gave me this baby? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the seed inside of you. It can't sin, friends. It can sometimes seem so hopeless that life in this seed can go so far down in the soil. Like a prophet says, and winter snow comes upon it, and the seed breaks open, and the pulp comes out. It'll look like it's lifeless. There's no hope anymore. But wait for springtime. I will restore, saith the Lord. Just let the sun bathe upon the seed. The seed comes to life again. Our friends, and it's the same as you and I. He allows the devil to push you so far, then he just speaks something within the veil. And something quickens inside of you and he says, Satan, get behind me, Satan. That's the way that it is. But not everybody has that. Because not everybody is born of God. He that is born of God cannot commit sin. Because the seed of God remains in him. But if you're not born of God, all those people whose names, the multitudes that will be blotted out of the records of life, their names, they weren't born of God. And that's how Satan will bring them to a place. They'll reject the truth and go and worship idols, bow down to false systems, burn Bibles and burn spoken words, go and be baptized in some person's name. After you know the truth, then you turn from that truth and you go to that golden calf. Be careful. That's a different type of sin, friends. That's not just a mistake that you've made in the flesh. This is in the spiritual realm now. Because when Moses went up the mountain and came down and the people were worshipping the golden calf, they'd seen the pillar of fire. They saw the cloud on the mountain. They knew God had sent a prophet and a message. Then because of whatever that was offered to them, they turned their back on the messenger. They turned their back on the message. They turned their back on the pillar of fire. And they made an image back like the old image they used to worship, the people used to worship in Egypt. And when Moses came down, he realized, he says, you've committed a great sin. I'll go up and see if I can make an atonement. But there's no atonement for that sin, friends.
That's right. Amen.
And he went up there and he says, oh, Lord, if it be possible, rather blot my name out of thy book. And the Lord said, he who sinned against me, I will blot their names out. When I visit him that day. Friends. That was a serious thing that they did. When God privileges you by revealing himself to you, when you sit and God speaks to your soul, there's a responsibility that goes with that.
Amen.
If you come and you sit here every service, sit here every, then you go and bring for thorns and thistles and briars in your life out there. Be careful, you're nigh unto being cursed, Paul
Amen.
Said. You come here and the Lord speaks, he wants to sanctify, he wants to bring you across the Jordan into the body of Christ. And you know that it's the truth, and you drink and you partake in of the Holy Ghost, yeah? You drank of the spiritual rock. You've been baptized with Moses through the Red Sea. You'll perish in the wilderness. And those who perished in the wilderness, their names were blotted out of the records of life. Though they were greatly privileged people. But there was other people like Joshua and Caleb, friends. They were never going to disbelieve. They were never going to disbelieve. They were that kind of a person. So be careful how you play around with the things of God. It doesn't work well. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, John speaks of this as well. 1 John 5, verse 16. He speaks of these different categories of sin. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There's a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, verse 17. And there's sin not unto death. But we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not.
Amen.
The wicked one touches this man every day, friends. He touches your human spirit every day, but he can't touch the seed inside of you.
Amen.
That's what he's saying, the wicked one touches him not. When Jesus says, behold, the devil cometh, but he hath no part in me. There's nothing I have in common with the devil. He's tried to tempt me as a man. He's tried to tempt me in my mortal body that was born of a woman. That's where Jesus was tempted. But inside of his soul, he was the pure word. He says, the devil and I, we've got nothing in common. He has nothing in me. He can try to tempt you, trap you in the flesh, friends. Trap you in your mind. Trap you in your human spirit. But he knows, he'll come to a point, the devil, that he knows, this person, like with Job, he just gets frustrated in the end. Says, it doesn't matter what I do to this man. I even get his wife to tell him, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you commit this kind of sin? Curse God and die. I said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Shall we receive from God only that which is good? Shall we not receive from the same hands that which is evil? Our friends, that was a perfect man, the Bible says. But God knows none of us yet have got to that stage. So we need an unconditional covenant. We need a perfect atonement of sin between us and a holy God. Because of the times you're going to doubt, the times you're going to say, where's God? Has God forgotten me? Oh, why hasn't God answered my prayers? The prophet says, when Sarah said to God, you are a liar to his face, he should have smitten her right there. But he couldn't because she was part of Abraham. And the prophet says many times he should have smitten us as well, but he can't because we're part of Christ.
Amen.
We're in an unconditional covenant. We've got a perfect representation who's praying and saying, Father, forgive her. She doesn't understand what she's doing. Forgive her. So there's a sin unto death, and there's a sin not unto death. And one is a sin in the spirit. Lucifer sinned in the spirit. That's why immediately he was condemned. Reserved in chains of darkness unto the judgment of that great day. And a lake of fire was prepared for him and his angels. Because he sinned in the spirit. But friends, if he's your father, you're never going to sin against him in the spirit. Never. You never. In Questions and Answers, 1961, the prophet answers this question. The Bible says that everything works for the good to them that love the Lord. Then if you love God and turn back to the world, would God let you die in your sin? Or would he let you be reconciled back to him before he takes you away? So this person obviously had walked with the Lord, and they actually said, if you love God, they said, something came and crippled this person up. The devil took an advantage in their life. They still loved the Lord, but in their mind, in their body, in circumstances, discouragement, whatever, they'd come to a stage, they said, this is too much. And they stopped coming along. And they gave themselves over to the things of the world. But always there was something inside of them there. The prophet says, this lady signed her name. He says, yes, sister. He says, now let me get this. You see, temporarily, minor, every one of us backslides many times a day.
Yes.
So temporary and minor backsliding, brother, we subject. Otherwise Christ never had to die on the cross. He says, We know that. We are all guilty, every one of us. There's none of us perfected. And as long as we are in this body, we still. No matter how much the people try to tell you, I'm sanctified, I can kiss this woman or do that. He's lying. He cannot, that's all. So the prophet's saying, no matter how much you're born again in your soul, this man's not born again. And if someone's going to go, if you're a man, and someone's going to show you pornography and you're going to pay too much attention to it, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You see how it is? Because of this outward man. Because of this mammal that the seed is dwelling in, this hot-blooded mammal. So you've got to be careful of that. God understands that. Now he says, remember, you are still human beings, see? But now, if you make a mistake and do something wrong, you don't do it willfully. Now, son or daughter of God's not intentionally going to go to grieve God. If you're born, if your nature inside of you, you may be like Brother Dawson Riley. If you listen to the testimony of Brother Dawson Riley, and he was a hunting guide to the prophet, a young man just had come to the Lord, and then the prophet came to pick him up that time to go hunting, and he was sitting, and Brother Dawson Riley, he had fallen with a girl the night before, and he was sitting and he was feeling so condemned, so heavy, and the prophet picked it up in the spirit and said, Brother Dawson, the devil trapped you into that. The devil trapped you into that. But I'm sure if you would go there, sit on the fence post over there and confess it to him, he'll forgive you. And Brother Dawson went and confessed it to the Lord, and the burden went and they continued on the hunting trip. If we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I think we've got to be careful, friends. I've learned enough about believers not to say believers can't do this, that, or the other. I know they can't sin in the soul, but the sins of the flesh, I've heard almost a whole encyclopedia of sin from the lives of people. That when the devil takes advantage of you inside of your life, you won't believe what the devil can make somebody do when they're down like that. Because when the devil gets an opportunity, friend, he's going to take as much advantage as he can. Much advantage as he can. And that's what he did. The prophet says, but if you do make a mistake, it's not willfully. If you are a Christian, if you are born again Christian, you don't mean to do wrong. Your intentions and everything is right. He says, but as she said, she made a mistake, she did wrong. Will God let you just go on and die like that and be lost? Or will he bring you back to reconciliation? He will bring you back. And then, if you do anything wrong and it doesn't condemn you, now he's getting to another side. And you can go on like that, on out. Remember, you weren't saved in the beginning. So if you go and get involved in sin, yeah, and you feel comfortable in that sin, and the guys at work, they're speaking their filthy jokes, and you're enjoying that and you're laughing with them, you are never saved. You are never born of God inside of your soul. It doesn't mean you won't get caught in something. The devil can trap you. The prophet says the dove might find itself in a bar room, but it's not going to stay there long. Now the devil may tempt you, and you might think, let me go and chat up this girl, and you're going to find after all, this isn't what you thought. Because God is going to so rebuke you for what you've done. That'll become a great embarrassment to you inside of your life. Because you're a child of God. But it doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. It doesn't mean at certain times when you're low, you won't give in to that temptation. But there's a limit as far as God's going to allow you to go. Because of the seed that's in you. And if you can just keep on. If you can go and you can put on worldly music, put on heavy metal music and enjoy that music, put on your reggae music, Bob Marley again, you're listening in the car saying, oh, this is so good. Friend, you've never been born again. That's the truth. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. You may get caught in something, but it doesn't satisfy your soul anymore. Because your soul has been redeemed. Your soul has been changed. The prophet says, that's right, you weren't saved. You just had a make-belief. Amen. You're a borderline believer. Amen. You're one that came out of Egypt, but you never believed. Amen. You're part of the mixed multitude. You came along because your friends came. You came along because your parents came along. But you've never been born again yourself. Because once you're born again, you cannot sin. Amen. You cannot desire those things again. Amen. You don't have an appetite for the things of the world anymore. Amen. That's how you know. Amen. The prophet says you weren't saved. You just had a make-believe. But when you're saved, you have a different spirit. You're a different nature. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. They are dead and buried in the sea of forgetfulness. But being that you're living in this world here, there's traps set for you everywhere. Amen. And that's like God knowing that there's traps set for us everywhere. We have a mediator. Amen. We have an unconditional covenant. We have the perfection of the blood. We have a finished work of Christ. We have God slaying the Lamb before the foundation of the world. We have the intercession of the Lamb on our behalf. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. He's going to try to trap you, but I've prayed for you.
Amen.
I've prayed for you. And friends, he's never going to lose his children. Never going to lose his children. Listen, now the prophet explains it again in another terminology in Genesis 8 verse 7. Genesis 8 verse 7. This is Noah's Ark, yeah? And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth. And Noah put forth his hand and took and pulled him unto him. The prophet says, let's use this as a type of backsliding. That's how he uses it. It doesn't mean the dove won't go out from the ark to go and see. Just as much as the raven goes out from the ark, it's going to go and see.
Yeah,
if I can have my slides there, sister. Next one, please. It's not going to the next one. If you can do it to me, sister. The dove and the raven, yeah? The prophet says in questions and answers, continuing on that same question, he says, look in the ark. Noah turned the crow out. Now, what was he? He was a crow. Oh, yes. He sat on the same roost there with the dove. You sit on the same bench and there'll be crows and doves in this church now.
Amen.
And how will you know who's a crow and a dove? By their diet when they leave here.
Amen.
By what they enjoy eating.
That's right.
It's true.
Amen.
If you find a girl, a woman or a girl or a sitting guardian and put trousers on and enjoy her trousers out there, be careful. That's a crow behavior.
That's
not what a dove does. If you find somebody from here, I can go and get involved in a young boy, I can go and get involved in a relationship with a worldly girl. You may be sitting on the same roost as doves, but it doesn't make you a dove.
Amen.
That's the nature of a crow. And if that is satisfying you and you're desiring the things of the world, you've never been born again.
Amen.
You're still a crow. And that's the danger point. That's the danger. That's the borderline believers that Paul is saying, be careful.
Amen.
That you don't get washed and sanctified and you taste of the word and you eat of the good things of the land and then you go out and you bring all the filth of the world. We got the next one. Thank you, sister. Next one. There we are. So there's brother dove and there's brother crow. Outwardly, they look both the same. They come to the same church. They say they believe the same message. They both can quote Malachi 4. Yeah? They both put their hands up and the Spirit's coming down and anointing the song worship. But when they leave the ark, let's see where they feel at home.
Amen.
That's how we'll know who's who here.
The
prophet says, yes, he sat on the same roost with the dove. And the old crow flew down on an old dead body. And he said, my, just fine. That's good. And you're putting on all your Britney and you're putting on all of this kind of music. Oh my, fine, that's good. That's your crow nature.
That's
feeding on that filthiness of the world. But to another person who used to love those kind of things, doesn't mean you won't be caught tapping your foot, yeah? Somebody, you're catching a lift, someone in the car, they put music you used to like. But it doesn't satisfy your soul. It ministers to your flesh, the outward man, because he's not born again. He's just as unregenerate as he was before you received Christ.
Amen.
So he may desire the things. He may say, let me look at these pictures. Hey, let me watch this DVD. Hey, let me speak to this girl. Let me speak to this boy. That's the outward man. And you may get trapped into it, the prophet says. But as a believer, you're never going to be satisfied there. You're not going to stay there long. The prophet says, it's just fine. That's good. You see him eating a dead body. Why? That was his nature. He was a crow. No matter how much he had sit with the dove, no matter how much he had heard Noah preach, no matter how much he had sat with this clean bird, he was a crow to begin with. And as soon as he got the opportunity to show his colors, he showed it.
Right.
You'll see it. Young people who grow up in the homes of believers. Yeah. And they'll be knowing that, yeah, this world, there'll be a pull to the world. But they'll be knowing that, yeah, this is dangerous. And God is going to give you an opportunity. The prophet says, sometimes you might be turned loose for a little while to see what you'll do. And you go away from your parents, you go away from the believers, and that's how you'll find out who you really are. By what you desire at that time, when there's no constraints anymore, when there's nobody watching you anymore, when you're on your own and you're listening to the music on your iPhone with a little earpiece in your ear, and nobody else can hear. That's how you know whether you're a crow or a dove. But what satisfies your soul? What is your appetite? The prophet says the difference between the crow and the dove was their diet. That's the difference. The difference between this brother and this brother is their diet. This one may have been baptized in water. That's good. That's a good start. But he hasn't received the new birth. He hasn't been baptized of the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. Therefore, he knows the truth. He has a knowledge of the truth. But he still has the diet of the world. Still loves his football. You know, he'll be the whole weekend. He won't even come to church because of football. That's a crow nature. That's a crow nature. When people aren't watching, the things that you read, the things that you watch, the things that you speak with people that aren't believers, that shows who you are. You can't fake it, friends. It's either you're born again or you're not. There's no half. The prophet says there's no drunk, sober man. There's no black, white bird. You're either on one side or the other. And today, every one of us here is in one of these two categories. You're either born again of the dove, or you've still got the old crow nature with the diet of a crow inside of yourself. And the only way you overcome this one is you be honest about it. You pray and you say, God, I've got a filthy desire inside of myself. My thoughts are filthy. I love to read romance books. I love to watch filthy things. Be honest with God. Come and lay it upon the altar. Ask those who love you to say, pray for me. I'm still being pulled to the world. I want to receive an experience that changes me. Not that I'll be forcing myself not to do these things. But it'll be from within. I don't want to do these things anymore. It's the crow and the dove. The prophet says sometimes you might be turned loose to see what you'll do. But you'll always, if you've got the nature of a dove, you can't eat crow's food. That's all it won't digest. Where would you go? What would you do? Tell me what you would do if you were not a Christian this morning. Where would you go, friends? That's how you know. If there was no more church, you didn't have the message books, you didn't have the Bible, you didn't have believers to fellowship with, friends, your life would be empty.
Amen.
You'd be saying, this is my life.
Amen.
If you didn't have Brother George coming and starting the song worship and getting into worship and prayer, and Brother Maxwell doing the Sunday school, get to the preaching of the word, fellowshipping with one another outside of it, you'll have no satisfying portion in this life.
Amen.
Because you got the nature of a dove.
Amen.
And birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
And you'll always find it when there's two carnal people in church. It's amazing how quickly they find one another.
Amen.
They never will have met in all the world. But they come into the ark. And funny that they sit right next to each other. That's closer because birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
The prophet says it's an attraction and a fellowship of spirits.
Amen.
That's how you are known by the company you keep.
Amen.
The Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Amen.
But he that walks with wise men shall become wise himself.
Amen.
Bad company corrupts good communications.
Amen.
But it's good to be honest, friends.
Amen.
Don't hide those things because people think we don't know what they're doing. We know what they're doing.
Amen.
We could tell what they're doing now. But you wouldn't do that. The prophet says, where would you go? In earnestly contending for the faith, he speaks the same principle. He says, look in the ark. There was a dove and there was a crow. Both of them sitting in the same ark, same roost. One of them was willing to go. The dove didn't want to go. As soon as he could, he came back. But as soon as the crow said, liberty. Ah, these people are too extreme. Hey, they're holding me back from all these good things. Out they go, they never come back. That's a crow. That's the type of the crow. The prophet says that. He says both of them were fowls. Both of them could fly. But one, you notice, it was their diet. When they turned the crow loose, he could fly from dead carcass to dead carcass and eat and be satisfied. But the dove could find no rest for the soles of her feet. Because a dove hasn't got any gall, so it can't digest such. You may try, friends, to eat some of that dead stuff once again. I remember our brother, Brother Wendapoli, was our good friend. They'd just been a believer for about 6 months back home, and then they sent him to Italy for 6 months for a shoe designer course. And everyone wondered and said, but this brother used to be a disco king, used to be a big sports star. He was a real good-looking guy. And we all wondered about Brother Shep Mundapoli to say, when he comes back from Italy, will he still be standing? And he came back, and we asked him, brother, how did it go? He said, brother, I didn't do well. We said, how didn't you do well? He says, after a few months, it became tough, and the guy said to me, let's go to the disco. So I gave in, and I went with him to the disco. I said, and what happened in the disco? He said, when I got there, I realized there was something inside of me that couldn't fit in the disco. Amen. And I was going to have to grieve that thing so badly to get it out for me to be able to fit in once again. He said, I wasn't prepared to do that. So I went back to my hotel. Amen. And he thought he'd been overcome. And we said, hallelujah, what a victory. He's got it. But it showed something had changed in him. Amen. Doesn't mean there can't be a trap set. Doesn't mean you can't be tempted. You'll find yourself in the wrong situation. But you don't desire it anymore. Because things have changed inside of yourself. You might think the devil will tell you. Remember that Nellie Sanders, when she went past the dance, and she heard that old music once again. And she remembered how she used to dance and win all the prizes. And she thought, let me go up and see, maybe I can win someone to Christ. And then she found herself dancing in some man's arms. But straight away she realized, she came running to the prophet's house crying, saying, Brother Bull, I'm lost, I'm lost. And the prophet had to cast that demon out of her like a bat. Remember the demon like a bat had to come out of her. But there was something different inside of her. She couldn't fit in there anymore. She couldn't fit in. The prophet says, and every man. No, he says, the dove could find no rest. How beautiful a type of the church. A man will say, well, I'm a Christian. I can do anything. That's true. He says, but the old crow could go from body to body and feel satisfied. But the dove found no rest. She returned back home again. And every man that's born of God, you might backslide, you might fall out, but if you're born of God, you're coming back to the ark as sure as anything in the world. Amen. God's done, took it all out of you when he cleansed you, and he made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. So you can't digest those things. So friends, that's a real good test to find out where you stand in Christ. Amen. Now, let's take it a bit further before we close here. Let's have a look at two different situations. What happens if you are elect and you're in sin? Or if you are elect and then you get yourself seriously into sin? Or you are in sin and it comes time for you to die and you're not ready to die? The first one, God doesn't call a man to judgment. The prophet speaks about that young girl who was dying in the hospital. And she was whatever age she was now. She had been on the cradle roll in church. She had been part of the tabernacle. Yes. About 8 years old, she was on the cradle roll. Yeah. She had been married, had two children. She was laying out in the hospital there at the point of death. She had backslid, got far away. She had been brought up in a message home. But she had got herself far away from God. And she was 4 months, 5 months pregnant with a baby. It had died. They couldn't operate because she had uremic, the prophet says. So the mother had to die too. There was no chance for her. I went out to see her because she had sent for me. That's the first good thing. As soon as she got herself in that position, she started to think about God. She started to think about where she had come from. And I went into the hospital, and there she was under the oxygen tent. And I lifted her up and said, "Do you remember me?" And she said, "Sure, Brother Bill, I remember you." I said, "Do you understand how sick you are?" She said, "I do. That's why I sent for you." And I said, "Well, how is it with you and the Lord?" She said, "Brother Bill, I'm not ready to go." And we got down there and prayed, and her mother and her husband, many of them in the room, and mother and husband started crying, and she got right with God. She paid her vows, came back, and said that if she'd be forgiven, how she would love him, and she was sorry for her sins and the way she had lived. And she went on with her repentance and crying. And after a while, I got up and went out of the building. The prophet is wonderful. And the next day, the doctors examined her, say she's much better. If it's like this tomorrow, we'll operate and take the dead baby out of her. And then at night, she's sitting with her mother, and she says, "Mother," says, "Yes, honey, what do you want?" She says, "You know, I'm so happy that I'm so glad that you're happy. I'm at peace with God. How fine it is." Then in a few minutes again, she called back and said, "Mother," she said, "Yes," said, "I'm going home." "I know you are." "Yes, sweetheart. I mean, I'm going to my heavenly home." "Sure, honey, at the end of the journey." She said, "This is the end of my journey." I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Yes, mother, within a few minutes I'll be gone." And they called the nurse and everything seemed normal. And within 5 minutes she was gone. She was dead. And when I come home a week or two later, Brother Graham preached the funeral. Mida told me the girl had died that night, and I couldn't understand it. And you know, the prophet says he went and told God, "You owe me an explanation." And he says, "When you speak like that to God, he's going to be awful quiet." That's right. He says, and he let me sitting for a few months until one day he came down and he spoke to her. And about 3 or 4 months, one day I was out on a creek bank, and the Lord spoke to me in a vision and said, "Go to her mother. Say to her mother, did not her time come the year before that? When she was drowning in a creek on a picnic? She should have went at that time, but I had to take her when she was ready."
Amen.
God can never lose his own, friends.
That's right.
She should have died the year before, but because she was a daughter of God, she couldn't die in sin.
Amen.
So God had to postpone her days, lengthen her days. Put her in that situation in a hospital bed. Speak to her inside of her soul. And then she accepted Christ, and then she went. And the prophet went, and the mother said, "That's right." Her husband and them, they had to pull her out of the creek. She fell in the creek. Her skirt went over her head. She got stuck, strangled in the water. They didn't notice. She almost died. And I said, "That was her time to go." The prophet says, "You see, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing." But the prophet misunderstood and misjudged. You might say, "Is that scriptural?" Well, God couldn't destroy Jericho without Rahab coming in.
That's right.
That was one of his children. He couldn't allow his seed to perish with the unrighteous. So he had to hold things up to make sure the word got there. And then when Rahab got herself under the token, then the judgment could come.
Amen.
What about Lot down in Sodom?
Right.
The angel said, "Haste thither, come quickly. We can't destroy the city until you come out."
Amen.
Friends, you see how much God respects his children.
Amen.
That's how much God respects his children. So if you're generally his child, he's never going to let you die in sin. He may have to put you in a hospital bed. He may have to make you lose everything that you've ever spent your life building up, to teach you a lesson, to get you to look up. But because you are his seed, he knows how to get your attention. And he'll speak and he'll visit you in due season, and his sons and daughters will never be lost. Never. It can't be. What about on the other hand? The prophet says, every man or woman, this is in Hebrews, divine healing, every man or woman that's been born thoroughly of the Spirit of God. You may backslide, yes sir, but when you go back out, you'll be the most miserable person you ever dreamed of in your life until you return. And if you fail to do it, yeah, God will take your life off the earth, because God promised to do it. So if you're genuinely a child of God and Satan traps you and you get so discouraged that just, "I'm not walking with God anymore," and God warns and warns you, and you're about to trample underfoot the blood by which you are sanctified, he's never going to let you get to that point. He'll shorten your days and take you off the earth. You're like King Saul. Saul was taken. He shortened his days. Yeah, not long ago, I walked into Vorgang's garage and I was talking to a fine preacher, which is my neighbor here. I've always had the greatest respects for the man, a good man, a fine preacher at the Church of God, Brother Ramsey.
Yeah.
And I asked him to do something on my car, and he says, I'll do the best that I can. He was really born of the Spirit of God. And then Brother Bram says to him, he says, Brother Rams, I was having some meetings, you should have been there. And he says, Brother Rams, I'm sure it was good. And he says, I could tell something wasn't right. And then Brother Ramsey said to me, Billy, I don't know if you've heard, but I don't serve the Lord no more. And I thought he was joking, the prophet says. And I asked him again, he says, no, Billy, I just don't care to serve him anymore. I said, but you believe him. He says, I believe him, but I just don't serve him. I quit. There's been so many things. You see, there was too much that he'd accumulated in the days of his flesh. Too many discouragements, too many disappointments, too many frustrations, too many things that he didn't understand. And Satan took advantage of that. But his soul was born again. And he that's born of God cannot sin. So deep down, though it was buried by all his emotions, buried by all of his frustrations, but inside of there, there was a soul of a son of God. And God looked right through all what he was thinking and doing, and God saw a righteous soul there that Christ had died for. The prophet picks it up again in the message, Hebrews chapter 6, when he's explaining Hebrews chapter 6. He says, now, that is absolutely impossible for a born-again Christian. I don't mean he calls himself born again. I mean a real born-again Christian to ever fall from grace. He cannot do it. That's right. He can never get out of that grace. Abraham fell, sure he did. But he never lost his covenant. He was still God's chosen. He was still a prophet sitting there. He always was. He would always be God's. God's seed. They're always his seed.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you do. You're his son or his daughter.
That's right.
If you're born of him. If you're Amen. Born of God. If you're predestined. If your name is in that portion of the book of life. Which cannot be blotted out under any circumstance.
Amen.
That's the elect.
Amen.
Because your name is written in the palm of his hands, the Bible says. So the prophet says, okay, having put that background, he speaks to Brother Ramsey again. He says, that doesn't say that it's impossible for a man to ever get back when he backslides. It doesn't say that. So saying Hebrews 6 isn't saying if a person backslides, he can't come back. That's not what it's saying. That's a different kind of thing it's speaking about, different kind of backsliding. The Bible says, he that's born of God does not commit sin. And if you commit sin, you're going to pay for it. Now, how many remembers this brother pastor that used to be over here at the Church of God? Brother Ramsey. He was a God-saved man. But remember, if you don't walk up to the correction, and you do something wrong as a Christian, God will warn you. Then if you don't take the warning, he will just take you right off the earth. That's what he did. You remember in the Bible, the prophet says, look at the Corinthians. He told them what they were positionally in Christ. But he warned them of what was going to happen, and they corrected themselves, got straightened out. What did Paul say to them? Paul said, let a man examine himself.
That's right.
He says, when you fail to discern the body of Christ,
Amen.
If you don't judge yourself, that's the reason many sleep.
Amen.
Not many die. Dying is separation from God. But many believers from the Corinthian church were taken home early.
Amen.
Because they were not discerning the body of Christ.
Amen.
They were playing around with the things of God. They wouldn't receive correction.
Mm.
And Paul says, that's the reason many of you are weak.
Mm.
Are sickly.
Mm.
And many sleep. God will strike you with sickness. He'll put plagues in your home, the prophet says. He'll do all manner of things that he has to do. Look, when the prophet didn't listen to God and didn't go to the Pentecostals, he says, plague struck my house. Look at the correction he had to go through. Friends, it was a painful thing.
Amen.
It's a serious thing to think about. That's why the Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. We should be judging ourselves. When the word comes from the white throne here and comes and
Amen.
Judges you and the books are open now.
Amen.
And the names are written from the book. If you see you still a crow, cry out for mercy.
Amen.
Seek his mercy, seek his Amen. Grace. Because if you'll judge yourself here, you won't have to be judged there.
Amen.
That's what Paul's saying.
Amen.
But if you refuse judgment here, be careful. God has other ways of creating his sons and his daughters. So the prophet says that this is this little brother, wonderful little brother. God saved man. Got him a job down at Vorgangs. Some of his people is sitting here. How many remembers Brother Ramsey? He used to come to my house and we'd talk together and we'd sit there and weep and hold one another's hands, a real Christian. Hey. One day I went down there, come from an overseas meeting. He said, "What can I do for you, Billy?" I said, "Check her up, Brother Ramsey. Change the oil." He says, "Okay, fine and dandy. Did you have a nice meeting?" I said, "Oh, Brother Ramsey, it was wonderful. I wish you could go with me sometime. Why didn't you go?" He said, "I don't serve the Lord no more, Billy." I looked around. I said, "What did you say?" He just kind of said, "I don't serve him no more." And he walked away. And I thought, "Oh, my." So I went home. Came back, got in my car. I began to think about it. I don't serve the Lord no more. The Lord put it in my heart to go back and ask him again. I said, "Mita, hold the fort." And I got into my car, went back. I said, "Brother Ramsey, I want to ask you a question." He said, "All right, Billy, what is it?" "You said a while ago you don't serve the Lord no more. You were just teasing me, weren't you?" He said, "No." I said, "Brother Ramsey, you don't mean that." He said, "Yes." I said, "Don't you love him?" He said, "If I loved him, I'd serve him, wouldn't I, Billy?" And he walked away. I thought, "Say, Brother Ramsey." He said, "I don't want to talk no more about it." I went home, went in the room, shut the door. You know how you feel real heavy, like you had just taken the cookies away from a baby or something. And I thought, what? It can't be. Surely something's happened to Brother Ramsey. And there's a little colored boy named Jimmy. He comes here to church, got one leg. He limps kind of. I forget his name. He walks down there, kind of a wrecker. And he met me and he said, "You know, Brother Branham, I don't know about this here Brother Ramsey around here." Said, "I told him the other day, we used to be scared to even open our mouth around here." That's what a righteous man that he was. Said, "You used to be such a godly man. But he took his preacher's license. And he went over to the basket and he tore them apart. And he threw them in the basket. I don't want nothing to do with it no more." The devil can do that, friends.
That's right.
The prophet wanted to head to Alaska. Amen. God had to turn him around. And don't all sit there innocent. Every single one of us have sometimes come to, "I'm not going back to that church anymore. Next time he preaches against me like that, I'm not going anymore." Or that Maxwell, when he says something against me again, I'm not going. That's the way that it is, friends. Yeah, but be careful that the devil doesn't take too great an opportunity at that kind of a time. And he said to Jimmy, I said, "Mister, you oughtn't do that." He said, "Oh, Jim, I'm through serving the Lord." He said, "You don't mean that." And he was coming down. He says, "Come and help me to grind my valves on Sunday." He said, "I'll help you after I come from church, but I'm going to church first." So he went down and Ramsey was grinding the valves on his car. And he said, "Jimmy, slip over the river. The saloon's closed here, but slip over the river and get me a case of beer." He said, "Mr. Ramsey, I've been guilty of many things, but never will I be guilty of getting a servant of the Lord a case of beer. No, sir, I'll never do that." He said, "Well, go on, go and get it, Jim." He said, "Mr. Ramsey, I'll grind your valves, but if you get any beer, you'll go get it yourself. I ain't going to never get a servant of the Lord something like that." So Ramsey jumped in Jimmy's car, took over the river, came back half teed up, half drunk, with a case of beer, drinking it. He started going down, his health. He got sick. You see, God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I did everything that I could. Brother Smith went to him and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could for him. Still, he shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died. That showed that he was a saved man.
Amen.
If God could not bring him into obedience, he'll have to take him out of the earth and bring him home. The man was about to trample underfoot the blood of Christ. He was about to do despite to the spirit of grace. He was getting right to the borderline of that sin that God doesn't allow his children to commit.
Amen.
So God said, "Yay," and God took the man
home.
That's the grace of God, friends.
That's right.
That's the grace of God. That's exactly what the Bible says. That's what the Bible promises. If you won't stand correction, you've got to come on home.
Amen.
So God cannot lose you after he's saved you. He can shorten your days here. He'll make you pay for every sin that you've done. And if you sin, you're going to have to pay for what you've done. Just remember that.
Amen.
Now, I believe tonight, Brother Ramsey was saved. Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
I believe it. But he just wouldn't obey God. And when he wouldn't obey God, God took him home. That's the only thing to do, because he would bring reproach and disgrace to the blood wherewith he was sanctified with. That's the scripture he's speaking about, Hebrews chapter 6. That's right. And he would count the covenant an unholy thing. That isn't just exactly what the Hebrew letter says. It would be impossible for him to be lost. But he would bring shame and disgrace. So God would have to take him off the earth and bring him home. Our friends, he's a wise businessman.
Amen.
But I'd rather be that kind of a believer that has a soft heart.
That's right.
That you quickly run to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me, Lord.
Amen.
I don't want to have to go by that kind of a way, Lord. I want to see the fullness of my days. I want to finish the course. I want you to be glorified inside of my life. I want to see my children serving the Lord. Ah, friends, don't play around with sin.
Amen.
Especially you young people, it's tempting. Don't play with sin. You will reap a washtub full. God will make sure that you reap a washtub full. And like we said the other day, the prayers of your parents. For you to go and get involved in your sin, you're going to have to step over the prayers of righteous parents. Friends, I wouldn't want to be guilty of that. God is going to make your life hard. God is going to make it you don't fit in with people. God is going to make it that all the things that you plan to do, they're not going to succeed. All your worldly friends are going to succeed.
Amen.
They're going to succeed in their fleshly sins. They're going to succeed in all their worldly entertainments. But you as a young person, it's just going to be a frustration. There's going to be a rebuke. There's going to be a disappointment every step of the way, because your parents are praying for that.
Amen.
And we as a church are praying for that as well.
Amen.
That God will throw every obstacle in the way.
Amen.
To frustrate you every step of the way as you go into sin. Until you will stop and think and turn around and realize, I'm not a crow, I'm a dove. I don't belong out here with these filthy carcasses of the world. My place is in the ark. My place is with the elect. The ark being a type of Christ. So finally he summarizes in Hebrews 6, paragraph 3, 7, 9. He says, you see what he's talking about. He's not talking about Christians falling away and that it's impossible for them to come back. He's talking about carnal believers who have gone through the work of reformation. I'll finish with that on that first slide again. Watch, what are you speaking about here? You've got to go back to your book of life again. Hebrews 6, to the believer, it's meaning you can never go all the way.
Amen.
When you're about to come to the stage, you're about to trample on the covenant. You're about to tread on the blood. God takes you home. But Hebrews chapter 6 is also speaking about the borderline believers.
That's right.
Who sit in the meetings, they sit in the ark, they sit with the doves. They eat of the good manna. They enjoy it when the Spirit's falling. They're eating the bread that comes from heaven. They drink from the spiritual rock. When they're sick, they're asking believers, please pray for me. When they're in trouble, they want the believers to help them out. But they've still got crow natures inside of them.
Yes.
Be careful. Because you're going to trample one step too far. If you're not one of God's elect, if he doesn't take you home, your name is going to be blotted out from the records of life. That's what Hebrews 6 is warning us about, friends. Is that there's a certain holy place. There's a certain place of God dealing with people. There's a certain holiness of God and a certain sinfulness of sin. And there's a certain level of sin. There's a certain category of sin that you don't want to get yourself involved in. Because as if you're genuinely elect, as soon as you're getting near there, God's going to say, I can't have my son there. And if you're not one of the elect, God's going to take his book like he did to Israel, and he's going to rub out your name, blot your name out of the book because of your esteem for the things of the kingdom of God. Maybe your parents were message believers. Maybe your parents have brought you up the right way. Now you're trampling underfoot all that everybody, the sons and daughters of God, have tried to help you inside of your life. Be careful of that.
Amen.
Be careful of pushing yourself through barriers that God puts in your way. Be careful of trying to force doors open when prayer is trying to close those doors for you. Because you're not going to be a privileged person.
Amen.
And God will rebuke you first, maybe in your body, and you'll always be sick. Then you'll start to find your grades at college and that you don't get what you're supposed to get. Then you start seeing it, all the opportunities, all the rest of the people are doing better than you. You're not ordained to that kind of a life. The proof of it is that God gave you believers as parents. And God didn't make a mistake when He gave you believers as parents. He could have put you with the believers of ISIS. He could have put you with the unbelievers and the ungodly. But God allowed you to be born in a home that believes in the covenant, the unconditional covenant of grace. God allowed you to be born in a place which believes in the power of prayer, which believes in applying the token, which believe in sending forth the Spirit, the angel of the Lord, to watch over your children. Our friends, it's a great privilege. But if you love sin, it's a great disadvantage that God has given to you, to allow you to be born with such parents and to associate with such people. We'll never give up, because God will never give up. No matter how much you may want to go far away, no matter how much you may want to disown the faith, we'll never give up. Like the parents of the prodigal, we'll never give up. Because God never gives up. And God that's inside of you will never give up on your children. You may be discouraged for a season, but you'll never give up. So friends, this one here, we can have backsliding believers. But a believer, there's a certain category of backsliding. Yeah, and God's already made an atonement for that. You can have sinful saints. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to fall short. But there's a certain type of sin that is not counted to the believer. There's a certain type of sin that you and I cannot commit as the sons and daughters of God. And this is God's grace. This is His predestination. This is what He has done for us. This is what He has proposed for us. This is what Christ has purchased for us. So let's rather submit ourselves, like the Bible says, to the Father of spirits, and let's live. Let's not contend with our Maker. Let's not wrestle with the One who gave us life. Let's not fight against to frustrate His purposes and plans. But let's yield ourselves to Him. It's the most glorious life, friends. It's the most satisfying portion. And that's what God ordained us to. Let's stand. I hope I didn't make more questions than I answered. Because it can happen. But as for me, I just want to be fully in His hands.
Amen.
The prophet said, I don't want to see how close I can get to sin. I want to see how far away I can stay.
Amen.
Because there's a price to be paid. You reap what you sow. And the way of a transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. So you don't want to play with those things. Let's come to a time of worship, saints.
Father of life, sit on your throne of grace. It's only by your mercies we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace. Lord, Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace.
Your name, El Shaddai.
close our eyes. Let's keep our eyes closed, saints. Let's take the bull by the horns today, friends. If you've still got a nature inside of you, and you know that it's not right, and you're wanting to overcome that nature, why don't you come forward for prayer today? Why don't you come, and while everybody's eyes is closed, we'll pray together. When everybody else prays, let's pray about this. If you've got an evil spirit that bothers you and it keeps pulling you to the things of the world, yet inside of your soul you want to serve God and you're seeking for deliverance upon this day, why don't you come forward? If God is correcting you already and things aren't working right and you wanted to set your life right with God and you want in a clean slate to go from this place saying, I've put it all under the blood, why don't you come forward when everybody else prays? And for the rest of us, let's all pray. For every single other person here, let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for brothers and sisters. Let's pray for the borderline believers in our midst. For those that have one foot in the world and one foot in grace, let's pray that God may do His wonderful work and that He may bring them into the kingdom, because I'm sure that's what they were ordained unto. Let's all come to a time of prayer. If anybody wants prayer, please feel free to come forward. Let's get to business against some of these things in the lives of people. Let's pray. All of us and anybody who's free, please come forward. Father, bring in ourselves unto Thee upon this day, wanting to look unto Thee and call upon the name at this time. Father, needy people that we are, Father, desiring, Lord, by Your grace and by Your mercy, Lord. Heavenly Father, to seek Thy face. Let's come to worship, saints.
We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have so many big efforts to the world. So we come before Your face, asking for Your grace. Take Your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore Your church again. Oh, touch Your people once again. Oh, with Your precious holy hand, we pray. May Your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Oh, not for temporary need, but to restore authority. Rushing wind, blowing, oh, touch Your people once again. Oh, Lord, we see Your tired servants and Your broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need Your precious healing. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battleground. Restore Your church again.
Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again.
Oh,
with your precious holy hand. Temporary need, no, my door is full of authority. And power, let a mighty rushing wind blow. Touch your
sing that song, Justified. Aren't you glad that you're justified? Just before we sing that song, just to say, we've had a couple of changes with the offices of the church. Brother Fergus has wanted to step down as a deacon so they can continue on as trustee and treasurer. So we've asked Brother Eli, and he's agreed to step in as a deacon. So he's on. He's asked to do it as a trial for the next month or so, so we'll have elections down the way. And also, you would have noticed the last while Brother Shepherd's been helping out as a trustee, doing the sound. So when we come to elections again, which we're coming up to now, coming to the end of the year and so forth, we would put him, if he's willing to continue on doing the sound as a trustee on the trustee board, we'd put him forward before the church as well. So you'll notice those two different changes. So we're really glad for Brother Eli. May the Lord bless him for that. Pray for him. There's not too many deacons. Well, the most popular people in the world, you know. To be a faithful deacon, you've got to step on some toes. So may the Lord really grant him grace, but you really do appreciate that. And to Brother Fergus, he's been wonderful dealing with him as a deacon, but he said to me the one day, he says he just has too many things that he's doing. So he's a very good treasurer. He's done a perfect job since we started that. And as the trustee who's responsible for the property of the church, he's very much happy to continue with that. So Brother Shepherd's trying to help him doing those things. So let's sing this song before we come to...
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to be. I can't deny the times I made mistakes. I can't hide from even you. But I know that deep within my soul I'm not sorry. Honestly, I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me again with you. Oh, oh, I'm justified.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times of old. Cause you promised I'll be victorious when I know I'm not at all. Then I heard an eager scream. His voice quickened my soul. You said you've not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. He looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot, or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just stuck in that body. You bypassed what the offer need. You have not done it
in the first place to justify.
Hallelujah! Oh,
justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place to justify. Justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place to justify.
Oh, I'm justified today.
Justify, oh, justify. You have not done it in the first place to justify. Justify, justify. You have not done it in the first place you justify.
You have the original life. You'll never sin against him. You may be in this body because you bypass your theophany and all that it's saying there. You're trapped in this body. But if you've got the original life, you want to serve the original purpose. You want to believe the original word. You want his original thoughts and purpose for your life. Let's sing that song, The Original Life.
The original word is what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
Oh, the Son of Man.
The seven seals of him.
The original
life. The original sin. God's attributes were manifest. By the last prophet's message,
and we know who we are,
and what we are raised up for.
Praise the Lord,
the original life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, the original
life.
Oh,
the original sin. Victory is ours.
Bless his name, saints. Let's sing the song, I Bless Your Name. Let me ask Brother Will if you wouldn't mind to come and close to us in a word of prayer. Just to say to Sister Msimange, please take our greetings home with you. Greet the saints there. Ask them to keep us in prayer. In Babylon, may the Lord help us.
His name is changed. Let's pray the night, and in the pain began to sing. Oh, they began to sing, the chains were loose. Oh, the chains were loosed, and they were free. Oh, we bless your name, I bless
your name.
Hallelujah.
Father, for we feel in our hearts, Lord, of the work that you have done.
Yes.
That, Father, we are outcasts in this world.
Amen.
We don't fit anywhere else, oh God.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you this afternoon, Father, that you have prepared a little place here in this corner.
Yes.
And you have given an atmosphere, Lord,
yes,
where we feel right at home.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, for the word that has been ministered unto us,
Lord,
rightly dividing, Lord, to help us in this walk where we are walking.
Amen,
to show us, Lord, how the enemy has set so many traps, Lord, in our way, oh Father.
Amen.
But we thank you for the perfect atonement,
hallelujah,
Lord, oh God, that hung on the cross,
yes,
to die, Lord, for me yes, and my Lord. Brethren.
Yes,
Father, you are a merciful and loving God, O Father.
Yes,
you are determined to bring us right to the end.
Hallelujah.
And no matter what the enemy may do, O
yes,
Father,
Lord.
To try to rob us of our victory,
Amen.
To try to take advantage of our ignorance.
Yes.
Father, O God, that weapon has been taken away from him this afternoon.
Amen.
And that, Lord, you have revealed unto us, Lord, things, oh God, that you had put in your word
yes.
to help us in this journey.
Hallelujah.
For many a times the enemy comes when we have, Lord, oh God, made a mistake, Lord,
Hallelujah.
And he tries to take away victory to
yes.
show us, Lord, oh God, things, Father, that would discourage us. But we are so thankful, oh God,
yes, Lord.
That, Father, you have shown us in thy word
Amen.
That, Lord, oh God, we are yours
yes.
and that you will lose none of your children.
Hallelujah,
I thank you,
Lord.
Father,
yes,
Lord. Lord, we thank you even for the call of the Spirit this afternoon.
Amen.
How you have called, oh God.
Amen.
Father, and you are still calling
yes.
that if there be any in our midst, oh Father,
yes.
that their diet is like that of the crow.
Yes.
Father, you have called unto repentance.
Amen.
Oh, I pray,
yes,
oh God, that let there be none that would leave this place
yes.
without having answered that call.
Hallelujah.
Have mercy upon
yes,
your
Lord.
People, oh God,
Amen.
That they will respond unto
yes,
the call.
Lord.
And repent, oh
yes,
Father,
Lord,
that
yes,
you may
Lord.
Make them new creations,
Hallelujah.
That they may also
Amen.
Be doves. For Lord, Amen. I am yes, reminded Lord. Of a time
Amen.
When I too was a crow,
Amen.
And Father,
yes,
I responded
Lord.
To the call, oh Father,
Amen.
And you made me a dove.
Hallelujah.
Lord, it is still yes, possible Lord. To be done this afternoon.
Yes,
Lord, have mercy oh, upon
Jesus,
your people.
Yes,
I pray, Lord, for our young people that
Amen.
Have gone astray, oh Father.
Amen.
I pray for your Spirit, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to turn them around, oh Father,
Amen.
And bring yes, them back to the fold.
Hallelujah.
The devil is trying
yes,
to hand them a bad deal, trying to
yes.
destroy their lives before it has even began.
Yes,
but
Lord.
Father, we claim them
yes,
in the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus Christ, our Savior,
yes.
that
Hallelujah.
None of them would be lost.
Yes,
Father, we will fight with all that's in us,
yes,
and
Lord.
All that is in us is thy
Hallelujah.
Spirit, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, oh Father, to wage a war against the enemy
Amen.
By thy leadership, oh Father,
yes.
for the sake of our young people,
yes,
for the
Lord.
Sake of our children,
Hallelujah.
For the sake of the kingdom of God.
Yes,
Father, we commit ourselves to you
Amen.
And ask for this strength, oh Father.
Amen.
We ask for this grace, oh Father,
Amen.
That we may be instruments in thy hands,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
to
yes,
be used
Lord,
of
yes,
you,
Lord.
Father. We
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord.
Yes.
May you bless, Lord, the ministry. Praying
yes,
for our
Lord.
Brother Andrew.
Please,
that you
Lord.
Continue to use
Hallelujah.
Him greatly. Lord, may
yes,
you enlarge
Lord.
His borders.
Please,
Lord,
Lord,
that his ministry,
Amen.
Oh God, may continue, Lord,
Jesus,
to edify Lord. Your children
Hallelujah.
And prepare them,
yes,
Lord, for the time that is now upon us, Lord.
Yes,
praying, Lord, for every
Amen.
Brother, every
Amen.
Sister,
Amen.
Supporting in this ministry,
Amen.
Lord, that you would anoint us with the same spirit
Please, Lord.
To
yes.
work, Lord, with a common purpose.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you even, Lord, for our sister, Samanga, that's been
amongst
us.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray you bring her home safely.
Please, Lord,
oh God,
bless her,
we
oh
pray
Father.
For the saints there, Lord,
yes.
that they may also, Father, be used of you,
Amen.
Lord, to wage a war against our common enemy.
Yes,
bring
Lord.
Her home safely, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, even for these plans that's been presented.
Yes,
Lord, we don't want to build in vain.
Amen.
We don't want to do things,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
with our own wisdom.
Yes.
But we are waiting on you now, Father.
Amen.
That, Lord, if there's a desire in our hearts,
Amen.
Lord, let it be in line with thy word.
Yes,
that, Lord, whatever we will
Hallelujah.
Do with this, Lord, that it would glorify only thy name. Lord,
Amen.
Be with
yes,
us,
Lord.
Father, remembering our sister Viva. Lord,
yes,
may
Lord.
You revive her this
Please,
afternoon.
Lord,
may we hear her testimony
Lord,
coming
Lord.
That you have
oh,
touched her. If there
Lord.
Be any that are sick,
Amen.
Lord, may you touch them and heal them also,
Jesus,
Lord.
Jesus,
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the brethren, Lord, that have served faithfully
Amen.
In the music, Lord.
Amen.
May you continue
bless
to bless them,
Lord.
To
Hallelujah.
Use them, Lord, to
Amen.
Bring down
Amen.
The strongholds of the enemy,
Amen.
To set your people free to serve
yes,
you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our brother shepherd, Lord.
Yes.
We commit him to you.
Please,
Father, how the enemy has fought him, Lord.
Amen.
Ever since he put his hand to try and help, Father,
yes,
the
Lord.
Enemy has been on his case, Lord.
Amen.
Help him, Lord, and strengthen him.
Please,
and bring
Lord.
Him back to his post of duty,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Father, even for our brother Ellie. yes. pray for him, Lord.
Bless him,
that you would use him, Father, oh
yes,
God,
Lord, yes,
to magnify
Lord, yes,
thy
Lord.
Name, oh Father. Amen. We commit him to you. We yes, pray for every brother, every sister. Lord, may you be with us now. We commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more as you dismiss, saints. Let's remember Friday night, 7 p.m. communion service. Next Sunday, Brother Lubanza will be with us. The following weekend, special prayer meeting on Friday for evangelism. Saturday, get out and let's go and let people know who we are and what we are raised up for, like the song says. And then let's keep our dedication services 19, 20 December. We may start on the Friday evening. Might have Brother Tom coming for the Friday evening. Two services Saturday, two services Sunday. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Let's keep this in prayer. God bless you as we dismiss.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll give praise Him for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For I want to be what God wants me to be. Lord, give me strength as I run this race to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change. Growing from the start, who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? Not like Jesus Christ going on the sea. Lord, help me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm my life.